Good morning, happy Monday. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Brevon Pittman Vaughn III, for filling in for me on Friday. Good morning and welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It is two mastermind calls in one. We do it every single weekday for over 5 years. And I'm honored that you would choose to be here this morning on a Monday morning. There's lots of places you could be, lots of things you could listen to, lots of stuff you could do, but you've chosen to invest in you and get better and grow. And we do these two podcasts in one, right? We do this first half is something that you have asked inside of the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. Second half, in about 25 minutes or so, is something that's on my mind. Let me give you a preview of that first. I had a chance to go to Boise, Idaho. Y'all saw that, right? Did you see Boise? Go on my Instagram to watch the little reel we put together. That was fun, of my trip to Boise at James D. Shaw. But I was in Boise and I was teaching Rise, which is a course that Vicky Lukacik and I wrote together. That is real estate inspiration, strategy, and execution. You need a little inspiration, a little motivation to get going. Then you need strategy to follow that works, and then you need to execute the strategy, and that's what Rise is all about. I taught it in Boise. We're teaching it in Champaign, Illinois next week, by the way, if you want to come. Champaign with my campaign. So you can go to jamesdshaw.com/events if you want to come. But anyway, I was reading through Shift, and there's a little line in Shift where Gary says that you have to become their local market authority. Local market authority. And I thought, well, what does it mean to be a local market authority? In other words, that your people in your database, that your past clients, that the people that you know, they believe you are the expert in real estate, and anything they hear about what's going on in the market, they filter through you. I thought, that's a really interesting concept. So we're spending the week on it, and we'll kick it off today. That's what we'll do at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes. But before we do that, I want to answer a question that you've brought up inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. And don't y'all love Jean Marie? Jean Marie in Boston's North Shore, formerly from Chicago, asked a question over the weekend inside of Pivot, which the whole point of the Facebook group is for you to ask questions. So I challenge you to go in there and ask them. And she asked, what is your conversation with a seller who asks for advice on selling by owner? So you go meet with a seller, a lister, a listing appointment, and they say, well, we're also thinking about selling it ourselves. What's your advice to them on that? Now, I do want to just remind everybody that we don't discuss compensation in here, so we're not going to make a specific fee part of your feedback. You all are free to charge whatever you want. That's how this business works. You get to negotiate that between your buyer and seller. So if you want to talk about overcoming fee objections, you can do that. But in a general sense, not specific fee amounts or percentages or something like that, since that's negotiable between you and them. But I'm curious, I'm sure you've been on appointments or talked to people. Maybe you've even brought it up in your pre-listing conversation. Hey, are you thinking about going by owner? What would your advice be for a seller who asked for advice on selling by owner? Erica, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. So
You're
I
welcome.
ask them questions. Since they're for sale by owner, the first question was, what do you understand about selling a home? And then, what's your experience about selling a home in this market? And how certain are you that you could actually sell a home on your own versus working with a trusted real estate professional like myself? When was the last time you sold? How important is it for you to move to blank by blank or because of blank? And, could it be possible that if you worked with a trusted professional versus doing this on your own, that you could actually net more money in less time with a lot less inconvenience? And then maybe how would you feel if I showed you the strategy that I use to help homeowners just like you move on with their plans? And just imagine that if you could move to blank by blank, if, and you didn't have to do it all yourself and you could actually get more money in your pocket. And if I could, do this, if we could come to an agreement on pricing and terms this evening, would you be willing to put me to work?
Lots of good, that's Phil M. Jones stuff right there. She's really practiced that with Phil and gotten, really narrow on that. I posted some other versions of some Phil M. Jones style, exactly what to say questions in the chat, in the comments rather, of Jean Marie's post. And it is, I think, Erica, right about asking questions, just really engaging with them. Erica, thank you. That was great. We're answering Jean Marie's question today about a seller who's asking for advice on going by owner. Ira?
Good morning, everybody. Erica got it all pretty much, but I basically say, yeah, you could sell it on your own. Absolutely. Do you really want to expend the effort to do this? Are you prepared to do open houses? Do you want a lot of people coming through your house unsupervised? And let me ask you one other question. If you had a toothache, would you attempt to take the tooth out yourself, or would you go to a dentist? And that's probably why you should hire a professional real estate agent, because you don't want to do this on your own.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. That sounds not fun at all. Although apparently, according to the chat, Masha's grandfather did it on his own. Wonder how that went for him. Josie, good morning.
Good morning. Definitely agree with asking the questions, but what I think that Erica missed is actually getting to the motivation of the person, right? Because if you're thinking of selling, then there's a reason, whether something happened, whether someone put that bug in your ear, maybe you had a bad experience with a realtor. So those are the questions that I would say that she missed. So what has you thinking of selling, you know, by yourself? Was it an experience? Like going deeper in those directions to find out what would even cause that thought to pop up. And then you can navigate based on their answers is what I would say.
Great share, Josie. Thank you. It is about asking questions. Just let's ask the right ones. No doubt about that. Orly, good morning.
Good morning. So what I have said, because I've come across this a couple of times, is you may not realize, but in this market, you may be leaving a lot of money on the table by doing it on your own. By not exposing it to as many people as possible, you're not really giving yourself a chance to get optimum dollars. In fact, I've sold three for sale by owners this past year, all of which got between 50 and 60,000 over the price that they had themselves put on Zillow. And there's the secondary negotiating stage. So I'm an expert negotiator getting you the most amount of money. But did you realize that when we get to the secondary negotiating phase, which is the home inspection, that's when I advocate for you. And that's where I can save you even more money. So you could do it on your own and take your chances or get more money if you list with me.
Good. I like it. Julie, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. A lot of what everyone else said, so I'm not going to repeat any of that. To tack on, I also talk about the appraisal that a lot, you know, banks hire the appraisers and now that's like a lottery. So a lot of times we'll get appraisers that aren't local. So I go to the appraisal and I put together an entire appraisal package for the appraiser to help make sure it appraises. And that, and then if they're still set on doing it, I say, you know what? No problem. Listen, I want to be your real estate agent for life. So I will answer some questions for you. I'll give you some resources. I just ask that I be the first one that you call when you decide that this is too much and you're frustrated and you're ready to sell it. And then I just literally start flooding them with so much that they get so overwhelmed and they realize that, oh yeah, we do need a realtor. One other thing is if you say, oh, you, let me show you where are you going to market it? Zillow. And then you show them how the for sale by owners actually don't necessarily come up right away. You have to go into the tab and search for ones by owner. And a lot of consumers don't necessarily do that.
That's a good point. I like it. Thank you, Julie. Maria Sims, good morning.
Good morning. So I actually started my business on for sale by owners and expired. So when I, you know, one of the things that I had was a puzzle, you know, piece that I would show them all the steps that they would have to take. And, you know, it's kind of like guiding them through self-discovery, like one of our children, when they're about to make a really bad decision that they need to make it on their own. It's giving them enough information to allow them to decide if, you know, going the path for sell by owner is going to help them or hurt them. And what I have found is that generally that takes about 3 to 4 weeks for them to self-discover if they are really motivated to be a true for sale by owner. So it's giving them all the information a piece at a time almost, but also with a generalized overview. And a lot of times it's until they wear themselves out and, you know, check that box. Because if we try to tell them, this is going to be a terrible mistake and I'm going to, you know, make you more money, then you sometimes ruin that relationship. But what I have always found is that I've never had a for sale by owner who sold their house by themselves not use me when they go to buy something. So well, there's multiple businesses there.
See, that goes to the story part of it, Maria, which is Carrie posted this inside of the Facebook group too about sharing stories of people who've gone for a sale by owner and wish they hadn't, right? Are you leveraging those stories, Maria?
Well, no, but that would be really smart. I should leverage those stories. And I think I will add that to my you know, my list of things to do, because you're right. It's all learn. People learn through experiences or stories or, you know, information that we might give them. So that's a great point.
Just say yes next time, Maria. Just,
I know. I'm a bad liar. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just try. Try. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. You're the best. Great answers so far this morning. We are answering the question that Jean Marie did. Thank you, Jean Marie. I knew it was you. The question Jean Marie asked this morning about for sale by owner. What, did you go on a listing appointment? They were like, we're still thinking about going FSBO. Is that what they had said, Jean Marie?
No, actually, I sent out my weekly wake up video.
Yeah.
Talking about estate planning. And he reached out to me and he said, hey, would you answer some questions I have about for sale by owner?
Yeah.
So it was nice because it's given me some time to ask the question on the Pivot Facebook page. This is all really helpful information because it's been a while since somebody has asked me this question. And this market, people may think that they can get more money, but I especially liked what Orly had to say about people leaving $50,000 to $60,000 on the table.
Well, it reminds me of a script we used in the original Bold back in the day from Dinah Kokoska about, you know, you'd ask the question, you know, what is it that, what is it has you the considering for sale by owner? And at some point, they'll usually say, well, we think we can save money, right, on the fee. We think we can save money. And you go, great. Now, let me ask you, why do you think a buyer would consider buying a for sale by owner? Well, maybe they think they could save money too because there's no agent involved. Well, let me ask, how are both of you going to save the same money? Like how does it work that both of you save the same? Wouldn't only sell for less? And I mean, it's just, I don't remember the exact script. I'd have to go and look it up, but it was something along those lines of how are you both going to save the same? We're getting ideas to help out Jean Marie this morning. She's got somebody that messaged her that's thinking about selling, but curious about maybe doing it by owner. Terry, what's your advice from the Twin Cities? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, first of all, for me personally, I would give my personal experience before I was a realtor and years ago, and we tried to sell, and it was just, you have no idea what way to go on getting the information out and that kind of thing. A little different these days with all the, with being online and things like that, which I understand. But the second thing is, and it's nice too, Jean Marie, because you know this person, but if we can find out what their job is, and it gets a little more personal and asking them, tell me what's unique about what you do that other people may not be able to do, and be able to kind of push on that a little bit, same thing. I wouldn't want to do your job because you're trained, you know, you're the professional. And that's how it is with me. And I want to make sure I have all my knowledge, my professional training that I have to work for you.
It's really good. I love sharing your story. Hey, I became an agent because of how difficult it was to sell it by owner. Dean Moss, good morning in Chicago. Cubs in the playoffs. Go Cubs, go.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I appreciate that very much. And thanks, everybody, for the greetings over the weekend. I appreciate that. Well, what you want to do is say, yeah, but and first of all, stories are the key. So if you have a story of somebody that you know that sold by owner, or you did and had some negatives before you got into real estate, that is dynamite, because then they can see actual reality of what you did. Number one. Number two, what you need to do is, hey, you know, do you really want to reduce the amount of exposure your house is getting by doing it by yourself? Well, I could go through all these various websites. Well, yeah, but are you targeting buyers, or you're just targeting people in general? What we do is we try to go after the agents that have the buyers, and you're missing all that high level targeting if you go by yourself. Now, that's your call. I give it to you. But you might not be thinking of all the angles. So thanks for letting me share that, James.
Dean Moss celebrating his birthday in left field at Wrigley Field.
There we go.
In the bleachers. And if you didn't see his picture, absolutely overjoyed to be there, Dean. You were absolutely overjoyed to be at Wrigley Field this weekend. Good luck to your Cubs. And thank you for the ideas on the FSBO as well. Fiona Owens, you're next. We've got a few more minutes to help out Jean Marie, coming up with ideas to answer the question from the person in her database that says we're thinking about selling, but we're thinking about doing it on our own. What's your advice, Fiona?
Good morning from Houston. So the way I approach for sale by owners, I give them tips. So I give them everything except pricing. So security tips, how to make sure people don't know your schedule, put medications away, make sure they're pre-approved. I tell them about the seller's disclosure so they don't get sued. So the point of all that is really to kind of let them see that this isn't as easy as you really think it is. So a lot of things that they haven't even thought about, it really uncovers a lot of pain points about trying to sell a house on your own. So I give them all kinds of tips. And usually what happens is they decide this is not for me and they end up letting me have the listing, but I give them everything except for pricing.
I think that there's like these two thoughts, Fiona. Some people want to give up nothing and others are say, just be helpful to them. You're in the be helpful category. Tell me how you made that choice.
Well, because I've noticed that when you come from a place of contribution with for sale by owners, they appreciate it. And like I said, they realize that they really can't, it's really not a good idea to sell a house on their own. So I offer to do open houses for them. Like I just come from a place of contribution, but I know that the main thing is, you know, pricing. So that's the thing I won't give them, but everything else I'll give them and it works out for me.
It's good. I agree with you. I think that most of what you do should be free. You just do it out of the kindness of your heart and the rest of the stuff will work itself out. Thank you so much. By the way, those of you who are really interested in for sale by owners, we have an on-demand series on that, FSBO Fortune with Emily Peckham. I'm putting it in the chat for anyone who's interested. Or you can go to FSBOFortune.com, FSBOFortune.com, and that's Emily's series. It's on demand. You can do it all at once. It's really pretty cool. Kay Condon, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, and happy late birthday, Uncle Dean. We love you, man. So as far as the conversation, here's just a factual tool you can use when you're having a conversation with them about drawing the most amount of people to see them online. We can print out our list track reports from our listings that show 3,800 people have seen this house. And the very first line on that drop down box is how many people saw it on Zillow. It's usually around 400 or 500. And another, you know, some houses have, you know, 5,000 showings or 4,000 showings, whatever those numbers are. And they give a drop down of every Zillow, Realtor, Homes.com, the MLS, and the numbers go way down from there. You can show them thousands of people see it when we advertise it the way we get into the syndications. And it's just a really solid tool to use in that conversation about getting the most amount of people to put eyes on their house.
It's good, Kay. Thank you so much. It is about eyeballs, then feet, then contracts. Barb Whitney, good morning in Canada. Good luck to the Blue Jays, by the way. They're the number one overall seed in the American League. Good luck.
Well, Blue Jays. So I agree with Fiona. Like, just come from contribution. Give them tips, ideas, anything that they can do. And yeah, if it's meant to be, they'll come back and they'll list with you. And the other one is, and Ian's not on here, I quickly looked to see, but he's got a great idea as well. Ian and I talked about this, oh gosh, way back when. So he offers the seller to continue to sell it themselves, but he promotes it on his site. And then when whoever finds the first buyer, lets them know. And it's a great way to do it. So he says, would you like the opportunity to sell on your own and get the same benefit of selling with me? And there's no catch. If the seller finds the buyer, he lets Ian know. If Ian finds the buyer, then they work out a deal.
That's good. Talk with your broker about how to do that. Some of your brokers won't let you do a listing agreement like that, and some will. So you got to make sure you talk with your broker about it. But Barb, it's a strategy that works. Thank you so much. And thanks, Ian, for sharing in the chat. Rico, good morning, friend.
Good morning. Happy Money Making Monday. I've been focused on for sale by owners and expires since the top of the year. And I did take Emily class. So this is what I would do. So I always say, I respect that you are very proactive, right? I acknowledge them. I ask them, what's the reason to do it? And then I give them the risk first. So I say for sale by owners, you know, they have fewer buyers, they juggle showings. Then you have to screen the people. You don't know if they're pre-approved or they're pre-qualified, because a lot of time those people get that stuff mixed up. And then I give them a lot of experiences. So a lot of for sale by owners that I work with, their phone is constantly ringing, and it's always the crazy realtors that are being proactive because they want to help them sell their property. I'm never, ever pushy. So I always there for support. I win so many for sale by owners because they say, man, we just appreciate you helping us. And then the value that I tell them is I bring more qualified buyers, I negotiate every line, and I protect you from any costly surprises. And then at the end, all I say is, I say, listen, if I can expand your exposure, because that's usually the biggest thing that they have is exposure, manage the risks, so help them with anything that happens, and still help you net more for a for-sale by owner, would you list with me? So literally, that's, I just keep it really simple, really plain, and then I let them be. I give them a week or two. I follow up every Monday.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, they'll call you and be like, listen, these crazy realtors are calling me and we want to work with you.
That's right. Well, and the follow-up call is really easy. By the way, this is good, Rico. Follow-up call is really easy. You know, hey, it's James over at KW and I was thinking about you, wanted to check in. How are things going? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, and how many calls have you gotten in the last week about your house? Oh, we got 15. How many were from real estate agents? Oh, like 13. Oh, okay. So you had two buyers call you. Did anybody come by and see it? Yes or no? Great. Did anybody buy it? No. Oh, okay. So you aren't any closer to getting your home sold this week than you were last week. When are you going to interview an agent for the job to sell your house? And that's Diana Kokoska also. And that little follow-up is, that's your, if they do go for a sale by owner, but you want to stay in touch with them, that's a very easy Monday follow-up call. Rico, thank you so much. All right, we got time for one more. Adriana Rodriguez, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I had a situation like that, and I do follow the Fiona, Rico. I give them support, and I give them everything that I walk through the house, and I tell them what I think. And I had an attorney that had been already on a for sale by owner. She tried to sell it herself. She was not able to. This was a house that was in a very, very nice price range for the New Braunfels area. So it was around $800,000. I can't remember the exact amount. So when I talked to her, I did give her my opinion of the price that she was on the, she had been on the market for, what I thought I would sell it for. She sat there and talked to me and argued, called me back, and her husband were trying to make a decision, right? She reluctantly gave me the listing. And one of the things that I did tell her was, you know, this first meeting we had, my opinion about what the house should be doing, whatever, everything else. I said, this is just one little part of my whole transaction. Everything is going to truly come into play once we go under contract and we have to either negotiate, and I have to protect you, because I had given her the example using stories that I had sold my restaurant with somebody else, because that way I would put that legal responsibility onto somebody else, not me. And I would also get my feelings out of the equation. At the end of the day, to this day, she still calls me, talks to me about that transaction, puts amazing reviews everywhere, and mm-hmm. said, I did not believe in realtors. And she has earned every single penny of everything. So great. What my point is, come from contribution, share, tell her. But that's just, I mean, the beginning is just one little part. There's a lot more to come.
No doubt. Adriana, thank you so much. All right, Jean Marie, takeaways, thoughts, ahas, anything that sticks out to you? What's on your mind after all this conversation and all the stuff in the chat?
This is the first time I've put a question in the Facebook page.
5.5 years it took Jean Marie. We finally got one.
This shows the power of this group. I brag about this group to everybody, but actually, and the benefit to the clients from this group, but the benefit to the agents from this mastermind that you've created is like overwhelming, right? Just overwhelming. And I think what's really helpful is that we're all in this together. Some of the tips that I have a lot of notes here, right? I think what Rico said at the end really sort of ding, ding, ding with me. He mentioned the other agents calling, really putting that in perspective for the seller. What I'm going to say is that you're going to be going up against clients who are, or buyers who are represented, and you have no representation. That puts you at great risk. And that never occurred to me that being a for sale by owner puts the seller against professionals who are going to be negotiating fiercely against that seller.
There you go. Jean Marie, thank you for asking the question. And I appreciate the entire community who's so willing to share. This call works when you are engaged in asking questions about the challenges that you're experiencing, the objections you're hearing, the issues you're having, because then we can come together as a community. And so I encourage everybody who's watching or listening or participating to join the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group if you aren't a member already. And then when you have a conundrum, go ask about it in the group. Most of the answers you get are pretty good. We'll get great ideas, differing opinions, different thoughts on how to do things. And so I encourage you to go in there and ask more questions. So I challenge everybody, took Jean Marie 5.5 years. If some of you have been here 5.5 years, never asked a question, go ask one this week. It would be great. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:01. It's good to see you. It's your friend James Shaw. And thank you so much for choosing to be here and hang out with us inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. I love this community so much. 5.5 years we've been gathering together, masterminding, strategizing, learning together, getting to know one another. If it's your first day, thank you. I'm glad you're here and you're welcome to attend anytime. If you're someone who's been here all the time, thanks for coming back. It's all about helping each other. We did a great thing on the pre-show this morning talking about Jean Marie's question about someone from her database who reached out, who's thinking about selling and thinking about doing it by owner and had some questions. We got some great ideas. So if you're watching it in the Facebook group or on the YouTube channel, go back and listen to the podcast version. Wherever you find your podcasts, search Pivot Shift Ahead Masterminding, you'll find it. By the way, did you see the exciting podcast news, everybody? Did you see the exciting podcast news? Go onto my Instagram at James D. Shaw. Very exciting podcast news that you'll need to go see. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about what it means to be the local market authority. I'll explain why in just a minute, why this is on my mind. But before we do that, a couple of Tell Me Something Goods. Alice and Brent, good morning.
Good morning from Cancun. We are here celebrating with Heather and her husband, Brian, and just had a wonderful wedding last night. Got Alice here with me. And
the wedding was good. Look at my hair.
Oh, yeah. We danced until we couldn't dance no more. And just wanted to say, James, we had a wonderful time with our Pipsters here. And thank you for introducing to all of us all of these Pip people and inspire people. And it was just a great time. So thank you for introducing us all.
That is so fun. Congratulations to Heather. And I'm sorry, Terry and I couldn't get down there this weekend, but it was so cool that she literally invited everybody in the Pivot Shift Ahead and Inspire community. And a bunch of you went down for her wedding. That is so cool. It talks about just the value of this space. And I'm glad that the two of you, along with some others, were able to get down there. And cheers to Heather. Congratulations. Dawn Tinder, good morning to you.
Good morning. So I put a check on my bucket list. We just got back from a 10-day trip, visited 3 national parks in Zion. Zion was one of them, but in Utah. And then we drove to Las Vegas and then ended our trip in Idaho. And we now have a new grandbaby. My daughter just adopted a baby that she's been fostering since he was 3 days old, and he is just a doll. So we had a fantastic trip.
Congratulations to her. Congratulations to you. Congratulations. It's a whole bunch of great stuff. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Shirley, you get the last one before we get after it. Good morning.
Oh, thank you, James. I too, following Britt and Alice, Shanika Denise, Synergy Suites, 1 year of this month. She has brick and mortar there in Tampa Bay. She has made her wish inviting everyone there to place an order. She's offering 10% off. And with your permission, I would like to put the flyer in the Facebook page as well.
You can put stuff in the chat right here in the Zoom. That would be totally great, Shirley. And send it to me too, because I'm here in Tampa Bay. I want to go support her. So that's great
stuff.
So email it to me as well. All right, let's get after it this morning. So as I shared with you earlier, I was in Boise, Idaho last week teaching RISE, which is a course that I wrote along with Vicky Lukacik on my team. And it's all about 3 things, right? Inspiration, that's the R, right? Or the I. Strategy, that's the S. And E, execution. We need all of those things, honestly. We need a little bit of motivation and inspiration to get going. We need the right strategies, and then we've got to make the decision to execute those strategies. I think it's a good course. We're teaching it next week, by the way, in Champaign, Illinois. For anyone who wants to come, you can go to jamesdshaw.com/events. I'd love to see you in Champaign. And there was a section that I was reading in Shift as I was preparing for this version of RISE. It's Shift page 183, by the way, if you have your Shift books. Page 183 says, when the market shifts, you must become more than just a real estate salesperson. You must actually become their local market authority. The real estate expert they know and trust, so that everything they hear about real estate, they will filter through your advice. Gary says, their local market authority. Now, I've read this book many times, and usually what sticks out to me here is when he talks about being their local economist of choice. That's what we talk about all the time, be the local economist of choice. But this time, these three words stuck out to me: local market authority. So I asked, what does that mean? It made me think about it, right? What does it mean to be a local market authority? How do you do that? Well, what I think it is, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but what I think it is you take the facts and the data and whatever's going on in the market, and then you add your interpretation, and then you get that message out, and that's what makes you a local market authority. You take the facts, data about the market, add your interpretation, and then make sure people know your interpretation. Because he says he wants them to, listen, filter through you. Anything they hear about the market, they want you to filter through your advice. See, when the people in your database see news about what's going on in the real estate market, good or bad, do they call you or someone else to understand it? Do they email you or someone else to get clarity on it? Like Jean Marie on the front half of the call, that person's thinking about going for sale by owner. So what do? Email Jean Marie to ask for her opinion. Jean Marie is this person's local market authority. So how do we do it? I think today I'm going to focus on understanding the numbers and then using those to tell a story. And that is, first, are you pulling your hyper local market stats? Absorption rate, days on market, pricing trends, affordability, and so on. And then, are you converting that into some kind of simple story? Homes in your neighborhood are selling faster than the nation is on average, which tells us the demand here is strong, or something like that. Again, we've got to have the facts, the data, add your interpretation, get it out to people, and that's what allows you to become a local market authority. It's such a big word. So I want you to think about it. Let's talk about how you become a local market authority. How are you using the numbers and then using those to tell a story? Miranda, good morning.
Good morning. Oh, this is so close to my heart. I saw your email this morning and I thought, well, I got to make sure I'm on this call. I have built my whole business around this whole concept. I remember early, you know, it was right after the shutdown in 2020 when I heard a woman that was local here in Chicago who said, if you're not going on social media every single Monday and giving a market update, you are failing your people. And I took that very, very seriously. And it was at that point that I put together on my home screen on my MLS, I have it set so that it pulls up the numbers for my county. So I have been tracking my county's numbers of the new listings, the under contracts, the closed sales, the private listings, expireds, and price changes. Those are the numbers that I track every single Monday. So this morning I will get on and I will track and I'll press the little number 7 and it will tell me for the last 7 days how many new listings, how many under contracts, how many closed sales, price changes, expireds, and private listings that we have in our market in our specific county. And I go on and I record, and I also do other research. I record, I look at Resi Club. I have subscribed to that, James, because you've told us that that's important. So I have that. I get the 2 from the Gary Keller Mastermind Group. And I get, I look at housingwire.com. I look at MBS Highway. I look at fanniemae.com. I look at all of this different data, and then I go on and record. And I don't have a script. I just sort of read all these articles. I look at all this stuff. I write down the numbers of the last 7 days, but that's really the only thing I write down. And then I go on and I record every single Monday, my Monday market update. I post it on YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. And then I also send it out to my entire database. So I send out an email with the link to every single person. And that I have built my whole business on it. I go to the grocery store and people will say, oh, people I don't know will come up to me and be like, oh, you're the Monday market update person. I watch your Monday market update. I've walked into, you know, places to pick up my pickup order. I walked in to pick up a pickup order at a local restaurant and the woman goes, oh, I know who you are. I follow you on social media. I watch your Monday market update. People know me. And then they do call me and they ask me, or even when I'm out, they'll say, how's the market? They know that I know what's the market because I've positioned myself in my community as the local market expert.
I'm so glad you got on. Shows my email worked this morning. Whew, that's good. Miranda, the list you gave is basically the list that I had written down too. I'm adding price changes to it. I didn't have that on my list. I think that's a really good one to pay attention to. And Inspire members, we're putting together a local market authority playbook for you that we will release late this week. So if you're an Inspire member, we're taking all the strategies from today's call, plus the stuff I put together, we'll put it in one playbook, and it'll be in Saturday morning's email for you and inside the portal. So that stuff that Miranda just went through, we will include in the playbook for our Inspire Collective members. And if you're not an Inspire Collective member, you have two options. Right, option number one is you can go back and re-listen to the call and hand write down everything Miranda said and get it for free. You could be like a FISBO. You could be like a FISBO and just do it all on your own. Or you can join Inspire at jamesdshaw.com and click Join Inspire, and we'll do it for you and send you the playbook this weekend. It's up to you. Thank you, Miranda. Appreciate you being on. Rhett Campbell, we're talking about being the local market authority. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, James. I think a lot of this goes back into, you know, your farming areas that you're part of in your communities. I know the community events that I put on have been a very, very big factor in some of this. As a matter of fact, the property that I went under contract on this weekend, it was a for sale by owner in the neighborhood that I farm heavily, the first neighborhood that I do that in. And I'm not sure exactly how long they had their sign out in the yard, but then they called me and they said, hey, Rhett, like, we want somebody that knows what they're doing. We want to reach out to you and interview you. And I went over to the home. And when I do that, I'm going to have the city numbers as a whole. I'm going to have at least a 1 to 2 mile circumference around their home. And then I'm going to have the numbers of the actual subdivision itself. And very few people are going to know that as well as I do, especially that specific subdivision. The days on market for each, the previous stories of the neighborhood and the do's and don'ts that I have personally experienced with families in that area that they're going to know and they're going to have a bond and tie into with. Once again, the community events throughout the year, when it allows you to look them in the eye and shake their hand and earn their business, the rapport gets built. And then once again, your foot's already in the door to earn the business later when they need you. People need to be mindful that the realtor is not just selling the home. The realtor is also selling the neighborhood and everything that goes along with it. So when I'm, so to speak, the professional of choice in that area, and I know all the events and I know where the sled hills are whenever it snows, and you know all the different surrounding vendors and things of that nature. Also, just like Miranda said, when I sit down at that table, which I don't do a lot, I don't interview a lot. People call me and we get it sold. But I'm going to record that CMA and have multiple screens open when I step in with that information, be able to share timely and seamlessly and be very punctual and professional. And when you do that and all that goes hand in hand with the rapport that you've already built, they're going to hire you. I genuinely believe that.
100%. You build relationship, add value to them by becoming this local market authority, and you're it. The decision's been made. You're just waiting for them to have a need. Rhett, thank you so much. Jess Starr, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What Miranda was saying too is all about branding. So doing that, she's been branded as the local, you know, Monday Market Update. So what are you doing to brand? I think doing it on, you know, a county level and also doing it on a very local town level for some of us that live in the small towns as well is really, really important. And, you know, just being super, super present within your community, the local Facebook groups, there is something to be said for that. If you are the first one recommending contractors and being that local authority for people in the moms group, in the local groups, and just like, it sounds so silly, but if you can be the one that is always supporting the local businesses and doing that on top of also knowing all your numbers when you're going to every listing appointment, sitting at every baseball game, those are really big things that will also set you apart, and people will notice that along with the branding. When you're at every listing appointment that's there, you need to know that neighborhood even better than your next competition. And that goes down to days on market within the neighborhood. That goes down to how well that neighborhood is selling list to sales price, not just in terms of the entire town, but just within that individual price bracket. So make sure you know the price brackets too. It gets very niche as well.
Jess, what you just talked about is our topic for tomorrow too, which is really, you know, being that person that's sharing the information in multiple channels. Control the narrative about what's going on in the market, but do it in multiple places, in the Facebook groups, in your email, on your social, like all these different ways. And we'll talk specifically more about how to do that tomorrow. Jessica gave you a preview, which is great. Dean, stand by. Donna, stand by, because Kira Ford does not raise her hand very often, but she is smart. She can do a roundup back handspring, and she knows what she's talking about. So we go to Dallas. Good morning.
You crack me up, James. So I want to piggyback off of Miranda and Jessica. So for Miranda, yes, I love the like recorded, but if you go live on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, it pushes it out to more people because the algorithms want people to go live because guess what? AI can't go live yet. So this is your chance to be able to get ahead of some of the algorithm and have people really see you as that local expert. And then to piggyback off of Jessica too, is that like when you show people like, of course, where to live, but also how to live, which is the local businesses, really like go and review them, shout them out. And I think that that truly is going to be the secret sauce. Cause like Miranda said, I go into the grocery store and people are like, real estate cheerleader. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, is that cheesy? Should I like be the real estate cheerleader? And then I'm like, yes, people recognize me for it. People expect that energy from me and it's natural. It's not like it's fake. So I think that it really does help push your brand and it helps people trust you. And that's what people do business with, people who they like, know, and trust. So, you know, do it all and you will really see results. So,
and not just any cheerleader. Y'all, she was a cheerleader for the Cowboys. She's a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader right here on our call, getting fancy here in Pivot Shift Ahead. Thank you. Great advice. Jim Harvey, not a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, but he has good advice too. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, James. So two things that I do to be a local expert is I attend as many open houses as I can in town. And after I leave, I write notes and predict what it will sell for. So I have a really good pulse on what the values are in town. And I guess agents used to do that years ago, but everybody got too busy, so they don't do that anymore. The other thing is that I'm in my fifth year of real estate, and I've always tracked data year over year, so I can tell my clients or prospective clients exactly how many houses were on market this same day a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago in my town and the four surrounding towns. So that's real live data as to where the market trends.
It's understanding and interpreting what's going on. You're the expert. Let's show them you're the expert. And your MLS likely has this data or your board of realtors, and they'll give you year over year stats. And I've talked about Resi Club in here a lot. I just like what that guy does. I don't get a kickback or something if you go and join and get a subscription to his service, but he gives you data that can, that's hyper local, gets drilled down to the city. It's just good stuff to know. Jim, thank you so much. Inspire members, by the way, Resi Club was offering a discount. I don't know if it's still active or not, but they were out offering a discount for those of you that are interested in subscribing. And the information for that is in the Inspire Facebook group in the featured section. That's where you can find the link. Go see if it works. Donna Gilbert, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So, you know, when you start to track all this data, it tends to lead to trends. And when you see the trends, you start to build interpretation. You can see changes coming. It becomes part of your mindset now, because the one question I think most people want to know is, but what does this mean? So do have an opinion. Please don't ever say for the rest of your career, oh, well, nobody has a crystal ball. Well, you have the closest thing to a crystal ball, and it's actually your job to have an opinion about it. Know all the things, like Rhett said. Find out all the trends. Follow it all. You don't know, like Jessica said, who's going to come up to you at a baseball game and ask you what question. Be prepared with all the knowledge and make sure that you learn to forecast. What the gentleman who just, whoever was speaking, I forget.
Jim
was just speaking. Make a prediction, have a forecast, put a stake in the market, show that you truly are the authority in the market. Let them come to you, but have that knowledge.
Good stuff. We're going to get one more in. And it's George Freelove, because this is birthday today. So, George, you get the last word on this one this morning. Good morning, George.
All right. So, yeah, I do the same thing. I track 10 different numbers every day at the multiple listing service. I have a Canva sheet for my market update, which I put on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. And then I put it on my website as well. So I track those numbers every day. And it's amazing how people will call you and ask questions about it.
Just be engaged with the people. This is what we're talking about, is the way that you become the authority is you take the facts and you interpret the facts and share it with the people around you. And that's how you become an authority. In fact, there's a lot of people who others think are an authority who aren't. So you need to become the authority by sharing the facts and providing your interpretation on them. So here would be my challenge for you today. Go do that. Go find some clear stat about your market. I don't care what it is, price reductions, days on market, inventory, you go pick one. And then share some story about it, post it on your socials, and see what happens. Now tomorrow we'll come back and talk about how do you control this over multiple channels, like what Jessica talked about earlier. It's all about you becoming the local market authority. That's our focus this week. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you very much. We'll see you back here tomorrow. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration.